Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
Christmas is notoriously a season of cheer and joy and celebration, but for many it's a time of heaviness and regret or sorrow. Well, today we hope to encourage your heart by lifting your focus back to the Word of God and to the blessings of the season. That's next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, the blessings of the season. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, and we hope that you are walking through every step of this special holiday season with your eyes on Jesus Christ and your worship and affection looking towards Him. Today on Daily in the Word, we're going to study a series entitled The Blessings of the Season. We hope that if this is a time of sorrow or heaviness or hardship for you or those you love, we hope that today's message will lift your heart back to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the promises of His Word. Today, the blessings of the season. This program features the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Dr. Chappell can be heard on this station at this time every Monday through Friday, and we hope that you'll walk through God's Word with us even into the new year. You can find out more about Daily in the Word when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. But today, let's turn our hearts to God's Word as we study the blessing of God's peace.
Well, today we begin a mad dash toward Christmas. And if you're like me, you've got a lot of things on your list, a lot of places to go, a lot of gifts to purchase, a lot of things to do. And so there's a very busy schedule ahead of us for the next several days, shopping and parties, etc. And sometimes during a week like this, the stress can mount and certain events can come into our lives that just kind of are the straw that breaks the camel's back, so to speak. And it might be something the kids do. It might be something a relative does. It might be that unexpected situation. And so all of us today need to just focus on the peace that really is intended for us at Christmas time. I read a Dennis the Menace comic years ago, and Dennis was all excited. He came running into his mother, and as he ran into his mother, he had a box in his arms, and he said, Mom, you need to let Santa Claus know to forget about the train I asked for. I just found one exactly like it on the top shelf of Dad's closet. And how many of you have a kid like that at home? You know what I'm saying? So that can kind of disrupt your best laid plan, so to speak. And all of a sudden you realize, you know what? If I'm looking for a perfect moment or a perfect dinner in order to find peace, it may not come, because peace is not found in well-planned events. It's found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So I want you to look with me this morning at a wonderful verse, Isaiah 9:6. It's in your notes, or you can turn there in your Bible. But let's notice this verse together as we begin. Isaiah 9:6. How many of you have your eyes on it? If you have your eyes on it, nod, raise your hand, rattle your eyes, something. Help me out here this morning, okay? Let's read this verse together, okay? Isaiah 9:6, ready, begin. For unto us a child is born, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. Sometimes people say, why do you refer to Jesus Christ as an equal person of the Godhead? Why do you Baptists insist on lifting up Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the third person of the Trinity? Well, the Bible tells us in this passage that He is Mighty God. He is the Mighty God. And because of that, He is the Prince of Peace. So when we read Isaiah 9:6, we're reminded that unto us a son is given, or a child is born. And when we read the phrase, a child is born, we're reminded that Jesus was fully man. And when we read the phrase, a son is given, we're reminded that He was the Son of God, fully God. Jesus Christ is the God-man. He is deity wrapped in humanity. And so because of who Jesus is, he is referred to as the Prince of Peace. And in your introductory notes, I gave you three thoughts about the peace of God and why we believe he is so uniquely qualified to bring peace to our hearts. First of all, Romans 1:7 tells us that he offers peace from God. Jesus Christ offers peace that is heavenly peace. It is peace from God. Secondly, in Romans 5:1, he offers peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I know a lot of people who are Baptists who never found peace with God. I've known people who are Catholic and Pentecostal and Presbyterian and Buddhist. They never had peace with God, because you don't have peace with God until you receive his Son, Jesus, as your Savior. And so we can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, he brings the peace of God. Philippians 4:7 tells us that we can have the peace of God through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we think about Christ as the peace giver, I want you to then notice with me in verse 26 what the angel does as Gabriel comes to Mary. The Bible says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth." Now, when I see phrases like "the sixth month," I'm reminded of the fact that God is always working according to a timetable, and that he had a plan, and he had a time when he would bring his Son into this world and when he would announce it by way of Gabriel. Now, Gabriel is a special angel. Gabriel, 550 years before this date, had made an announcement to Daniel that there would come a Messiah. It was Gabriel that had announced that John the Baptist would be born. It seems like God has Gabriel sometimes making special announcements in the Bible. And in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, it was Gabriel that came to Daniel and prophesied the coming of Christ. And he said that there would be 490 years from that prophecy, a coming of the Messiah who would be cut off. We know that to mean he was crucified. And that took place on the 69th week of Daniel. The 70th week of Daniel has been suspended during this church age. For those of you that have studied Bible prophecy, Daniel's 70th week is also known as the period of tribulation. But Daniel prophesied, and Gabriel gave to him the prophecy that Jesus Christ the Messiah would come. And now we come to this time 490 years later, and we see the prophecy coming true. Galatians records in Galatians 4:4, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." So God, who is eternal in his nature, allowed an announcement to be made through an angel that was fulfilled when Gabriel came the second time to Mary and said, "The child that will be born of you is the very Son of God." And so it was that God fulfilled his promise, and that the Lord Jesus Christ came according to the Scriptures. Now, as we break this down this morning, this arrival of Christ and how he brought the promise of peace, I want you to notice in your outline, first of all, the message of peace that came. The message of peace. And see it with me as we begin reading now in verse 26 once again. "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." Now, I want you to notice, first of all, that this message was given in a humble place. It was given in a humble place. The Bible says that the message was given in the city of Nazareth. Now, Nazareth is, frankly, even to this day, a very simple town. Nazareth, at that time, no doubt, was a very primitive town. And I want you to take note of that, because a place is not judged by God according to its institutions, its architecture, its bridges, its accomplishments in the human sense. A place is judged worthy by God by the determination of the righteous people who inhabit that place. God was not impressed with Nazareth because Nazareth had such great accolades in the sense of their academies, institutions, and architecture. God was impressed with Nazareth because there was a holy woman who lived in Nazareth. In Nazareth, he found a woman completely yielded to him. In Nazareth, he found a woman who was highly favored with his grace. And you see, God rarely starts in big places when it comes to doing his works. Often he'll start in remote places, finding someone who has a heart open to him. Nazareth was obscure. Nazareth was not unique financially, nor was it unique socially. Mary was not unique financially, nor socially, but she was a pure and highly favored woman of God. And may I say to you this morning, as we begin another aspect of building here at Lancaster Baptist Church, another very bold step of 18,000 square feet of building, as we consider being a part of the work that God is doing here. Lancaster is not a famous place. People do not come to Lancaster to see the high buildings, the great bridges, or to take maybe a schooling such as they would in a place as Harvard or Yale. But I want you to recognize this with me, that God is still in this moment, not looking for institutions, nor is he looking for architectural renown when he looks to do a work. He still looks for people whose hearts are open to him. And so we are here in the suburbs of LA, as some would say, in the high desert, on the edge of the Mojave Desert. And yet even in this place, God is searching to and fro. And he is looking for people who simply believe and who have a heart to serve him. And I believe this with all of my heart, that we are in store for a tremendous new year, and that God does great things in unusual places, because it is then that he receives great glory. So this message of peace came to a humble place. Secondly, it came to a holy woman. It came to a holy woman, verse 27, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. Now, I heard about a Sunday school teacher. She had been teaching her children the Christmas story. She had taught them about Joseph and Mary and the shepherds and the wise men. And she came to the time of review, as every good teacher does. And she said, "Now, boys and girls, we're going to review what we've been learning." And she said, "I want to ask you, who is the most important woman in the Bible?" And of course, he thought that all of the students would say Mary. And one little girl raised her hand. She said, I know. She said, "The most important woman in the Bible is Eve." And the teacher thought, "Where in the world did that come from?" And he said, "Now, what do you mean Eve is the most important woman?" And the little girl said, "Well, you know, they've named 2 years after her, Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve." Now, folks, would you listen a little better to me this morning than that student listened to the teacher? It was Mary that the teacher was talking about. And why do we refer to Mary as a holy woman? You say, as Baptists, we do not pray to Mary. Correct. There is not one verse in the Bible that tells us to pray to Mary. We do not believe that Mary is our co-redemptrix. We do not believe Mary saves us from our sin. We do not pray to Mary. We do not worship Mary. But what does the Bible tell us about Mary? The Bible tells us that she is to be highly revered as a holy woman. She was a woman that was pure. The Bible tells us in verse 27, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. The word virgin there is the Greek word parthenos. It speaks of a marriageable maiden, one that had not been involved in any type of sexual promiscuity. And in this day when young people are often told via the television and MTV and Hell's Box Office, HBO, when young people are oftentimes taught that promiscuity is the way to go, and that it's acceptable to live a life of impurity, Mary is a wonderful reminder that she was a pure woman and a tremendous example for young ladies and young men as well. She said in verse 34 to the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" The word "know" again speaks of an intimate knowledge of a man. She was a pure woman. The Holy Spirit in many ways protects the purity of Mary. There are some who try to say she was just another young Jewish girl. There are even some Bible perversions who refer to Mary as merely a young woman. But the Bible is clear, and we thank God for the King James Version when it says she was a virgin, because that's the right word to use. She was a pure woman. May I say, secondly, she was a prepared woman. The Bible says in verse number 18 of Matthew 1, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Even as the prophets of old had said in Isaiah 7 and verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which of course means God with us. She was a prepared woman, prepared by God. But I want you to see, thirdly, she was a preferred woman. Mary was a preferred woman. Verse number 28, the Bible tells us, "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Highly favored means that she was full of grace. And the Bible says she was blessed among women. And oh, how we see today this message of peace coming to a humble place, but coming to a holy woman. And what a tremendous testimony Mary has today as a righteous and godly woman. It was a message of peace that came to Mary. But notice secondly this morning, the moment of peace. I want you to see how this moment at first seems startling to Mary. The Bible says in verse 31, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Now notice Mary's response in verse number 33. And the Bible says, verse 34 rather, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" You see, like Joseph last week, Mary did not immediately sense the peace of God. In fact, her first response was a response of question and wonderment, and how can this really be? It may have been fear that gripped her heart initially. What would Joseph think? How could this be? What a strange message she was hearing. And like many of us, when circumstances that are unexpected come into our life, we want an explanation before we feel the peace. We want to know more details before we settle in. And certainly Mary was in that moment of lacking peace just at first. And that's the case with so many of us. I heard about a lady recently that was lacking peace in her life and unable to achieve inner peace. She went to a psychotherapist, and the psychotherapist said, "Now look, if you want to achieve inner peace, what you need to do is you need to begin finishing the projects that you start. That's going to be one of the real keys," she was counseled. You've got to finish what you start. And so the lady said, "Now, so far today, I have finished 2 bags of chips and a chocolate cake, and I really am feeling a lot better." Now, folks, when trouble comes to your heart or when news you don't understand comes your way, you have a choice. You can resolve it your way, which may be chips and chocolate cake, or you can come to the Word of God and find your rest and find your peace. Well, Mary chose to listen to the Word of God. Mary chose to listen to the angel Gabriel. And I want you to see why Mary found peace. I want you to understand why she was able to rest in the Lord. Notice, first of all, it was because of the presence of Christ. It was because of the presence of Christ that she found peace. And may I say to you this morning that if you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, you will never know eternal peace. You will never know what it means to have your sins forgiven. There is no way to know that you're truly on your way to heaven. You say, "Well, I don't believe what Baptists say. I don't believe what you're saying about peace." Would you, for just a moment in this Christmas season, listen to what the Bible says about Jesus Christ? Notice what it says in verse 31. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name." Would you say that name with me, please? Say it again. Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now let me tell you what Jesus means. It means Jehovah will save. It means that God will save. I mean, the very name Jesus means Savior. And that's because all of us need to be saved. We need a Savior. Someone says, well, I don't want to be born again. I don't want to be saved. My friend, you do want to be saved. No one should want to be lost. And Jesus came to seek, Luke 19:10, and to save that which was lost. And so verse 31 tells us it was the presence of Christ that would bring peace to the world. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now, my friend, I don't know about you. I love that name, Jesus. Let's say it again. Jesus. What a wonderful name. And may I say to you that that's not a name that we ought to use in the middle of two cuss words. And when our children perhaps use a derivative of the name Jesus in their slang talk, we ought to pull them aside and say, listen here, Johnny, we don't take Jesus' name in that way. His name is the name that is above every name. Some of you work with some foul-mouthed men. And every once in a while, they're just stringing out the name of Jesus in between every other kind of a word. I don't necessarily think you need to get in an altercation with them. I don't think you need to embarrass them in front of their friends. Maybe take them out for an In-N-Out burger. Sit them down with a double-double animal style. Some fries and a couple of strawberry shakes. Say, Joe, I really like working with you, and you're a good man, and you come to work on time. Tell him every good thing you can tell him about himself. But then say, Joe, there's something you do, and just man to man, I want to share it with you. A lot of times when you're upset, you use a name in the midst of curse words, and that name means a lot to me. And that name is Jesus Christ. And I want you to know every time you do that, it hurts me, it offends me, because I love him. He's my Savior. You know, we need some Christian men who'll stand up for Jesus as a soldier of the cross. That's a wonderful name. Now, I know that society gets nervous. I mean, the ACLU runs from school to school telling principals, don't let them pray in Jesus' name. Don't let those athletes kneel like Tim Tebow and give any thought that it might be Jesus they're thinking about. And we certainly don't want a manger scene here. And we have the little Grinches running around everywhere trying to take down the name of Jesus. But I just want to say in this church house this morning, I love the name of Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful name. It's an easy name, Jesus. I've heard it in many languages, and it's something that even children can say. There's a name in the Bible, in 1 Chronicles, there's a man named Tilgath-Pilneser. In the book of Isaiah, there's a man named Maher-Shalal-Hashbaz. How many of you are glad we don't pray to him? It's an easy name. I'm telling you this morning, it's an esteemed name. Even in the most cold and difficult corners of communism and in the hardest hit areas that are just the strongholds of Buddhism or Islam, I want to tell you something. When that name is mentioned, people pay attention. It's an esteemed name. I want you to know it's an enduring name. From the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, you'll find that name. It's an eternal name. It's an exclusive name. The Bible says in Acts 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation given in any other name given under men, given amongst men under heaven, whereby we must be saved. I mean, that name, Jesus, is the saving name that brings salvation to all who will believe. And may we as Christians never succumb to this cultural shift that is turning away from the name of Jesus Christ. Perhaps you heard the politically correct Christmas hymn that's coming out this year. It goes something like this. It's beginning to look a lot like a multicultural, non-denominational winter solstice holiday. Maybe you've heard that one. People are just so afraid to say Christ or Jesus. Billy Sunday said there are 256 names given in the Bible for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I suppose this was because he was infinitely beyond all that anyone could ever express. Oh, listen, Mary found a moment of peace because she heard and understood that his name was Jesus. He would save his people from their sin. And secondly, I want you to know that it was because of Christ's perfection.
Friend, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We're studying the blessings of this Christmas season. And probably the greatest blessing of all would be for you to receive God's gift to you. Lots of gift giving during this time of year, but the greatest gift that you could ever receive is the gift of a Savior through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, to recognize what he did for you on the cross, to lay aside everything that you're trusting and to trust him alone as your Savior. Friend, we invite you to bow your head and heart and make this simple decision of faith. Invite Jesus Christ into your life right now to be your Savior. It's a decision you will never regret. You can find out more about this decision and more about the ministry of Paul Chapel and Daily in the Word when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org or when you call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. And you can visit us online and find many resources for your own spiritual growth when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find links to Dr. Chapel's books and other resources. You'll find a complimentary daily devotional that will come to your inbox, your email inbox, every day in the new year. It will help you read through your Bible and walk with the Lord Jesus every day. That's all to be found at dailyintheword.org. Don't forget, you're invited to join Dr. Chapel, our guest speakers, and many Christian friends from around the country for the beautiful Alaska cruise, August 9th through the 16th, 2014. You'll enjoy not only great preaching from the Word of God, you'll enjoy the Christian fellowship, the wonderful music, and the incredible beauty and grandeur of God's creation as seen from aboard a wonderful cruise ship through Alaska's Inside Passage. Again, the ship departs August 9th through the 16th, 2014. For more information, visit us at dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.